Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like we have a bunch of very well-fed people. That's from Thursday night. It was wonderful. It was very good. Well, welcome to Eagle Bend Community Church. I don't see any visitors. Some people I haven't seen for a while, but I remember their names, Janet and Lori. But welcome, and let's open our service with a word of prayer.
We have some competition this morning because they're having their breakfast with Santa upstairs, so we've got little kids again. We don't have those here in this church very often, so that's kind of a mixed blessing. But let's thank God this morning for the blessings that we are given every day. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed in this church. We have plenty of food. We have warm places to live. We are so much better off than so many other people. We are free to come here and worship you without fear of persecution. So we thank you for all of these things. We ask a blessing on all of those who are here this morning, those who cannot be here, whether they are traveling or have sickness. We ask that you would give them your comfort and your peace for whatever is going through their lives right now. Be with Bruce as he gives us the sermon this morning in this special, special time as we await the birth of your precious son, Jesus. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Come, let us adore him. And I think that's why everyone's here this morning. An announcement before we start. You need a bulletin because the insert has the words to the songs, to the hymns this morning. They're all Christmas carols. They all have to do with angels. So you're going to know the first verses, but you may not know the rest of them. So if you need to get one, feel free to come and get a bulletin now. Okay. Anybody need any? Have you all got words? Okay. All righty. Well, then, let's start with us.
Everybody in the back row hear everything all right?
Yeah. Can you hear? Because we don't have the same sound system as we do, you know.
Everybody can hear. If they can, I guess I won't know. Will I?
No.
Because they can't hear my question.
Yeah, Betty wants us when we sing to sing loud so we can drown out any noise upstairs. I want to start with this story. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, but we had one of the members of our church who was good at paying things forward, you know, giving something to someone without expecting something back. And this young lady, this is supposedly a true story, went with her family, her young son and her husband, to McDonald's. And there they saw this very, very dirty man, you know, and everybody in McDonald's was kind of shying away from this man. But the lady said, "Sir, are you all right?" And the man said, "Oh, I'm fine." So he went and placed his order, and all he could order was a cup of coffee because that's all the money he had. So the lady, after he went, got his coffee and sat down, went and bought a breakfast for him. And she took it over to him. Well, of course, the man started crying when this happened. But this was one way to pay things forward. And the lady said that she felt blessed, that she was touched by the hand of God that day. So he may have been touched by an angel, but it also gave her that warm feeling that we get. And it's time for our first hymn about angels this morning. And we're going to stand because we have the words, okay? So please stand. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim the Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night, God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear, suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Though an infant now we view him, he will share his Father's throne. Gather all the nations to him, every knee shall then bow down. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Oh, great. You may be seated.
Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins."
Purple has traditionally been the primary color of Advent, symbolizing repentance and fasting. Purple is also the color of royalty, demonstrating the anticipation and reception of the coming King celebrated during Advent. We're given just a glimpse of Mary and Joseph before Jesus was born. They lived in the hill country of Galilee. Joseph was a religious man. Mary gives every evidence of having a thorough knowledge of the scriptures, even though she was a teenager. The Bible teaches that God was so pleased with her that he chose her to be the mother of Jesus. Mary and Joseph weren't married, and yet Mary became pregnant. I've often put myself in Joseph's place, imagined his thoughts, his aspirations about the girl to whom he was engaged. But Joseph decided to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about these things, God's angel appeared to him in a dream to give Joseph an explanation of the situation. All Joseph's suspicions were put away. He accepted what God had said through the angel, and he was immediately married to Mary. But Joseph and Mary followed the call and plan of God, and through their obedience, the way was prepared for Christ to come and bless us. Are you seeking to follow God's call on your life? You are actively responding to him.
Joseph and Mary both were visited by angels, and so we're going to sing another song about the angels. Please stand with me, and we'll sing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. I guess there's no angel, but the angel talked to him, right?
Prayer. Dear Lord, on the second day of Sunday of Advent, we come to you today with heavy but hopeful hearts. Heavy because of all the unspeakable evil and violence we see in our world today. But we are hopeful as we know love and goodness always triumphs over evil and hate. We ask that you help our leaders gain wisdom and the courage to confront and defeat evil. We also ask you to help us gain courage and wisdom. As we go through our lives on this earth, help us spread your message of unconditional love and kindness. We ask that you protect those who seek to protect us. We ask that you give comfort to all those who have been victimized by evil. Place your loving arm around our family and friends that are dealing with their life challenges. Help them feel your warmth and comfort. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 15. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us."
It's time now for us to give back a little by giving our tithes and our offerings. So if you'd like to stand, we'll sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Be seated.
We thank you, O Lord, for the gift that goes on and on and on in our life, the gift of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that you've heard one sixth of the Heritage Voices, you'll know that it's going to be a wonderful time tomorrow night and Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, and we have 20 men singing in the Heritage Voices this year, and one of the pieces we're going to sing, the men are going to sing "O Holy Night." It's absolutely powerful. So please come. Tomorrow night at 7 or Tuesday at 7. So why the shepherds? Why are the shepherds so important? Why are these lowly men and boys chose to receive the word from the angel Gabriel about the Messiah that was born? Well, it's the time of season when we give and we observe and we show acts of charity and cling to the church traditions about Jesus Christ. And Betty mentioned in the announcements about the Operation Christmas Child, and a number of us went down to the center in Aurora on Tower Road, a huge facility, and we helped pack these boxes. It was an amazing operation to send 800,000 boxes to Mexico, to children in Mexico. Our church donated about 80 boxes, which is wonderful for our size congregation. Hundreds of volunteers got together to from grade school kids to super seniors like us. I'll get that out. These boxes will not only contain gifts, but they contain Bibles in their own language. And when they get to the other end, they would meet with counselors to learn about Jesus Christ. And these eight, across the United States, there are 8 million boxes being sent out across the whole world, representing about $300 million in contributions. Well, when the boxes get there, local pastors and other volunteers present the gospel to these children while family and friends listen in. They also receive a colorful book about the gospel that they can color in their own language. It's wonderful. Luke 2 gives us a clear truth about how God traditionally broke the ways that were done in the past in proclaiming things that were happening. He broke down the church's structure. He broke it down so it became real and in your heart. He's done that from lowly shepherds and fishermen. All the disciples were either fishermen or tax collectors. Look at a murderer, a deceiver, an adulterer in the form of King David. God used him. Look at the non-believer in Abraham who knew nothing about God, and God came to him in his city of Ur and said, "You know, David, you're going to travel 1,500 miles. You know, 1,500 miles in those days was like going to the moon." And of course, a drunkard in Noah, and of course, a plain peasant woman named Mary. Use these plain people. Jesus being King of Kings, humanly thinking, we would think that he would be born to royalty. Jesus being the King of the Jews might have looked for him to be elevated and born in the city of Jerusalem, not in a lowly podunk town of Bethlehem, and surely not born in a stable and laid in a manger, and the wise men didn't even clean up, did they? No. The women would have, yes. Well, through the pain of delivery, the birth of Christ, Mary, Joseph, and the angels had their appointed time in history. The shepherds had their public proclamation to give as well. The shepherds were in the field, and the angel Gabriel came to them and announced to them, wow, how did these shepherds play this role? When a child is born into royalty, we see the TV, for example, the royal family in England, when a baby is born, all that happened. All they had was the heralds in those days. When Christ was born, his father sent a public announcement like no other. The Bible said, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior was born to us. He is Christ the Messiah, the Lord. The first public revelation of the birth of Christ came to shepherds. Can you imagine a young 10-year-old shepherd hearing this angel and the bright light that was shining in the heavens? And they saw a star, a magnificent spectacle that God made just for this occasion. Some Christian theologians try to prove that there was a shooting star or a comet or a meteorite that happened at that time. But I believe that God made a special star just for that occasion. There's no need for that. God made this star just for this special announcement. It came and it went. After the initial shock, I'm sure that the shepherd boys became filled with glory and happened to say, let's run to the town and see what's going on there. Let's go, guys. I bet I can get there first, just like typical kids. And they go running down into town to find out the birth of Jesus. One would think that the birth of Christ would be announced in the temple to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the preachers of the day, the judges, the high priests. You would think that the birth of the King of the Kings would be announced in the royal courts, in those elite in power and government. But when one sets a focus on the reason for the season, which is Jesus Christ, he begins with the question of why. Why the shepherds? He announced it to the most lowly in the community of that day. But the rulers didn't really even know about it until later, did they? They were looked down upon, those shepherds were looked down upon the orthodoxy of the time, the reigning government. These were just poor guys, you know. They just were shepherds out in the field. And you know, one of the things that's kind of interesting, that probably they were tending the flocks of sheep that were used for sacrifices in the temple. We know the flocks were pastured nearby Bethlehem. And if that was the case and the Lord had let the shepherds who were overlooking the temple flock that were used for sacrifices to come to see the Jesus Christ who was going to sacrifice himself for us, that was amazing. Well, there's some truth to focus on about these shepherds. These were men who were able to grasp the things of God in their mind with a servant's attitude. In the birth of Christ in Luke, we read, "And when the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they heard it all, hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, the baby who was lying in a manger." That is so important that they took this to heart. They were so impressed by the situation. In Exodus 3, we find the same character trait about Moses. While attending his father-in-law's flocks, the angel of the Lord came to him with heavenly truths. David had a spiritual character. In Psalm 78, it says this: "He took David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep. He brought him to be the shepherd of his people, his inheritance. And David has shepherded them with integrity of heart." The shepherds, Moses and David, of course, as we know, are very imperfect people, but able to hear and obey godly truths. You know, the shepherds had this kind of character that's really a work ethic that moved them to diligence in their calling, watching over the flocks by night, making sure the predators don't come and get the sheep. Even when they were frightened, they held their ground. And we see that Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his arms and his lambs and carries them close to his heart." We've seen pictures of shepherds holding a little lamb that was frightened or cold or hungry or hurt. Because Jesus uses the term of a shepherd for himself, not a king, not a potentate, not a strong-armed ruler. He said in John 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." And that's all about ministry, isn't it? I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Jesus did not say, "I am the good ruler," or "I am the good judge," or "I am the good king." No, but a shepherd. The shepherds are spiritual hearts enabled them to understand and receive this glory. They weren't filled with entrapments of ruling and being kings. Many called the shepherds the first evangelists, weren't they? They were not ashamed of the gospel, not allowing it to be watered down or be politicized or be politically correct, but proclaim what the angels had told them: the Messiah had been born. Christians have our place in the play of life here in eternity. When we must apply them to call God into our life by expressing the heart of the shepherd. The heart of the shepherd is what we are called to be, every one of us, to take care of those who are straying apart. We are to be a birthplace for Christ, to be spiritually born in the hearts of other people. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, we must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Born again, which means to be born from above. This is a spiritual gift done by God. As explained in Ezekiel chapter 36, it said, I will give you a new heart. This is what Christ is going to do to you. He will give you a new heart, right, Tom? He gave you a new heart. We heard that last week. He did. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit into you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God changes our heart from one to another. Sometimes it's slowly. Sometimes it's fast. Sometimes it takes decades, and sometimes it takes minutes. We are to be a temple for the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul writes, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? You know, in the Greek, the word dwell has a much deeper meaning than we can say in English. It's a very intimate term, which means that a dwelling place where the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us, resides, lives, works, functions. No literal temple is recognized in the New Testament. Only those who have Christ as their personal Savior exercising their spirits for good can understand how Christ can come into our hearts. We know many people in this congregation whose lives have been changed by Christ coming into their heart. We are to be modern-day evangelists like the shepherds. Jesus in a lowly manger. We are to exercise those gifts to impress on people what it's all about to be a Christian. It's not just somebody who goes to church or somebody who prays once in a while or who reads the Bible. It's somebody who does the work of the Lord. The shepherds on their way back to the workplace told others about Jesus, that the Messiah had come. They were praising God, saying the Messiah has come, the baby born in a manger. It's this time of the year we chose to celebrate Christmas in this country. It's not happy holidays, is it? Say Merry Christmas. Don't be afraid of saying Merry Christmas. Be bold about it. I am, and sometimes it shocks people. Send Christmas cards that reflect what you believe in Christ. Give at least one gift to people that express your love for Christ. Make sure that we keep focused, that we can worship the Christ of Christmas. Our key text says, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's what we are to do this season. The shepherds kept their focus, and so should we at Christmas time. In a time when the world is making merchandise of the gospel, we should remember the Holy Spirit of Christ is omnipresent, always present. One of the world's heroes, Santa Claus, lives in the North Pole. He only comes once a year. Christ is omnipresent, always here. Jesus stands at the door of your heart knocking, willing to enter whenever you want. Santa says, only if you're nice. Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. Santa, well, you might have to wait in line while the kids are lined up at the shopping mall. Jesus says, cast all your cares upon me. But Santa Claus says, you better not cry. You better not pout. Jesus Christ enables you to live a new life, mend broken hearts, repair a broken home, and build mansions. The world's view of a Christian often gives gifts that will come someday and fade away. Look at those families in San Bernardino. What a horrible Christmas they are going to have, unless they're able to bring Christ into their heart and help mend it. The Bible says this gift that goes on and on and on. In fact, that's one of the songs we're going to be singing in the chorale next Monday and Tuesday night. And the gift goes on and on and on. Because in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, But whosoever lives and believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed.
Don't you love this time of year when we get to sing these beautiful Christmas carols? If you'll stand with me now, we're going to sing It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
In the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he met with the disciples in the upper room for the Passover meal. He took the bread and he broke it and gave it to them and saying, "This is my body which is shed for you, which is broken for you. Eat all of it in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after they had finished eating, and he took the cup and he blessed it and said, "This is my blood which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." And let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The next song listed in your bulletin is not what we're going to sing, because if you recognize that title, the voices already sang that up here a little while ago. We are going to sing instead, I'll turn it over to the right one, Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Angels We've Heard on High. So stand with me now and we'll sing the parting hymns here. Sing loud.
Wow, we rocked the rafters, filled the house. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.